What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the rewatch Sex and the City. And as always, we are watching And Just Like That. Hello, Tane. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How's your week been? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I am feeling great. I think this was a really good episode in light of the news we got. I think you watched the show different. Let me backtrack. The news we got, guys, is that And Just Like That is done. Carrie is finally going to be, lack of a better word, laid to rest. They are done with the show. They decided not to tell anyone that this was the last season because they didn't want it to, you know, cloud over the season, which I think was a good idea. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. And I think we should take note, especially if you're not cancelled. You know what I mean? If you're not sure that you're ending it. I think it was so smart, and I'm shocked more shows don't take that tact. Yeah. Because that's all everyone's going to talk about, right? That, oh, this is the final season. This is the final season.
Yes, I agree. Because remember, I think the beginning when we were like, oh, it's 12 episodes. Why is it 12 versus the 10? But they said they decided to end it. And then part 11 and 12 is just going to be part 1 and part 2 of the series finale. Mm-hmm. And that made me watch this episode a little differently. But I think what I liked about this episode is the fact that it went back to the core of what we like, the big three, the friendship and all that. So, you know, it was a good watch. But I think I got ahead of myself. Just want to remind you guys, like, especially now that we know that the show is ending, like we told you last week, please send us your suggestions for the shows that you want us to rewatch. We've started building our pool to see what show we're going to dive into. Thank you for those who sent suggestions over to us. They have been added to the pool. We're going to, you know, see what we can do, see our schedules, and then let you guys know and keep you updated on what we are choosing to rewatch. And for you guys that have been listening to us all season, thank you. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you. You guys are really like, I don't know, I feel the love, man. And I love that you guys engage, even though Tate is way better at keeping up. I'm trying to do better, but I love it. Thank you so much. I can't say I'm sad the show is ending, because I think it's no secret that I don't think this show is great, especially compared to the OG. But I do think this season has been such a vast improvement over last. So at least they're going out on a semi-high. And like Tane said, I actually also really, really love this episode. So it's nice that we're on the same page.
He just reminded me that I put up a poll because there was this article, like, everybody seems to be hate watching. So why is the show still on? So I asked you guys why you were watching, and there were just some funny answers. I think someone said to see what Carrie does and be the opposite, or how to be.
I saw that.
That was funny. But I think, I mean, the answer for most people is the nostalgia. Like, this was just a pop culture zeitgeist. Like, you can't ignore it. Like, no matter what we feel about And Just Like That, they will forever remain etched in history. For this.
It is. But so we're here. So this episode was called Better Than Sex.
I don't know why.
I know, right? It doesn't. That's actually true. I don't think it connects to anything, actually, thinking about it.
I think they tried to explain in the main podcast, but it's nothing's coming to mind, which means it didn't stick. By the way, they did not announce that it was the series finale on the show, podcast, Which leads me to believe, like, I don't know, I believe they recorded like way ahead of time. And I just don't know if they gave them the Real Housewives treatment. For those who don't know, the Real Housewives treatment is when they fire a cast member, but they give them the opportunity to say things like, oh, I want to spend time with my kids. Oh, I just want to focus on what's important. So I don't know if Michael Patrick King was like, you're not going to fire us again. Let's just say this is the finale. They told them that you're not going to get renewed. And then they added, I don't know, they filmed in 7 months. So maybe I'm just reaching. But I had that thought when they didn't mention it on the show, like, hey, this is the, you know, finale, and we kept it on the wrap. So, yeah, I had that thought.
I'll just say, I would love to know what the numbers are. I think it's pretty well watched. I don't think they would have canceled it. Because, you know, at the end of it all, people just want to make money. And even when the announcement was made, I kept seeing like all over the comments that, oh, this is my favorite hate watch. Even all over Reddit, people are like, this show is terrible, but I literally watch it so I can listen to my favorite podcasters like snark on it. So many people said that. So I do think people watch it, even though it's not the greatest.
Yeah,
like, do you think it would have been canceled regardless?
When I say canceled, I don't necessarily mean, like, regardless of what it is, we are watching. I agree on that. But we don't know how the rest of them feel. Like, there's only so much. Maybe it's just me. Sarah Jessica Parker does a really good job acting in this show. Like, regardless of whatever we feel, I feel like she does a really good job. Like, she's the one consistent out of all the girls and does that. But there's only so much. She seems to me in the press a little detached, but I don't know if that's because she's such a great actress that she can disassociate. Mm-hmm. But just things like not knowing what the script was about or not feeling certain things, I'm just like, is she just over it? Like, you know what? Let's just let this girl rest. Like, we're beating a dead horse right now. And then all the comments, they're still human beings.
Yeah.
It has to get to them at some point. Like, are we tarnishing our legacy by continuing this? And we all know, regardless of what they say or whoever the HBO execs are, the power is really in SJP's hands.
Yes.
So if she decides, like,
a show without her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if she decides, like, I don't want to do this anymore, and you don't want any more bad press, like, you ran away Kim Cattrall, now you want to end this show, taking work from people, it's just easier to say we thought it best to wrap. Mm. So that's my, again, guess, no facts, no nothing, but I had that thought. Not a guess, but like a thought that I had, that this seems like a cleaner way to wrap up the show than putting the onus on, like, SJP saying that, because is Charlotte going to say no, she don't want to work? Yeah, the rest of the cast needs work. Cynthia Nixon is working, yes, but double income in this economy, anyone would take it.
Enough is more this season.
Because
watched, by the way. I'm saving it.
Michael Patrick King also in his notes said, Sarah Jessica Parker and I decided to keep this on the wraps. So I'm like, wait, when did the other people know? So these are all the things that contributed to my my theory.
The writers must have known, right?
Girl, I tell you, I don't know, to be honest. The way that podcast rolls, I don't know. They act like they don't know what they wrote, so who knows? I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. But anyway, so yeah, we begin the episode with Carrie writing at her desk with a voiceover that autumn was here, and as the leaves turn gold, the woman returned to herself. Because she's free from Aiden. Sorry. So she walks downstairs and we see Duncan ensconced at her dining room table being very complimentary about her writing. Carrie has channeled her pain about her breakup with Aiden into a productive streak, and the pages have been flying out of her. Duncan is being very flirty and being very liberal with the banter, but Carrie easily keeps up with him. I actually love their banter because Carrie can be so corny and annoying sometimes, but I just love that there's clearly like mutual respect. And I'm just like, oh, this is so cute. Mm-hmm. He asked if he would still be reading Carrie's pages if Aiden was still around. And Carrie says she has no idea, but she would not be as far along in her writing because, yep, Aiden is an enemy of progress, as we've been saying.
I'm with you in the enjoying the banter, especially when they were going back and forth on their, I think it's a bibliography.
Yes.
And that was written by Samantha Irby, who we've mentioned before. I always want to highlight Samantha Irby because I think she's the only or one of the few Black writers on there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, because they made fun of her on the podcast and they were like, oh, how many do you have? How many bestsellers? She's like, I have four. So I'm like, talk your shit, girl. So, and I know you guys, if you guys have been listening from the rewatch, I joke about this where I say Carrie's not really a writer. And I want to say on the record too, that this episode was the first, not the first, because I mentioned it last week, but I'm fully ensconced in, and I believe that Carrie is an author. Like
the first time?
Not the first time. I said it last week, but I fully believe that she's writing, like, articles, all that stuff, yeah. But, like, the books, they've never really focused. Remember, they came back and they're like, oh, she wrote a book, she wrote this. Yeah. We've never been through the process. So I always say, allegedly, a writer, allegedly. But seeing the process, seeing her work with Duncan. And I also always say that she doesn't have chemistry with a lot of people. Duncan and Carrie have chemistry. Like, yeah. It's there. It's possible.
Trying too hard.
Yes, yeah. It's right there. I still think his praise seems too effusive for me. It's a little bit phony, but apparently it's true.
It is at all.
I know. I'm just thinking, like, I know that first time where I was like, is he hiding something? But apparently he means it. And it's just, wow. It's just...
You know what I really like about Duncan? I don't know. It does feel very authentic to me. Just because you know how... The way you hate, like, British people being on American shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when they have inauthentic British people on American shows. When mm-hmm. I'm just like, a British person would act like this. And that's mm-hmm. what pisses me off the most, when they're Americanized British characters. And Duncan comes across as so authentic to me.
Yeah.
Like, every interaction from the very beginning, from his grumpiness on the surface to slowly opening up and being flirty and banterous,
yeah,
like, adjective, to me that feels like so authentically British, like,
yeah,
literally. And this is why I believe him, because British people also don't really give false compliments like that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just be like, oh yeah, they'll be polite,
yeah,
they won't tell you something's good if it's not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that I don't know, I bought everything that he was selling for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to deviate to share an anecdote because you just reminded me of that. You know, Scott, Love Island Scott?
Yes.
Okay. So, go ahead.
That's in Scottisha.
Yeah. So there's a new show, Perfect Match, where they bring people from other things and they bring him out on a date. And he goes on a date with an American girl because, I don't know, all these dating shows, all they do is bring people, because we've talked about it, Americans are fascinated by the British accent, except Scott is Welsh.
Let me pause. He's on another dating show?
Girl.
How many is this now? Four? Five?
Girl. When he was saying, he was like, I was on Love Island Games, Love Island US. I was like, yeah, I don't want to see you on my screen. So he goes on a date with an American, for anyone watching. It was The Bachelorette, Rachel. And she goes there and does, it was just so cringy, does the thing that Americans do where she's doing her British accent. And he's just, you know, Scott. Scott doesn't have time for the niceties and all this stuff. He's just like, why do Americans do this?
Yes.
Why do you guys think everyone has one accent? What are you doing? So she did it again. Then she said, isn't that how you... He goes, I'm Welsh.
Thank you.
She does it again. And then he goes, I just said it, I'm Welsh. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going right back to whatever accent it is that you're doing. And I'm like, Nana, I would appreciate this because this is so cringy and so annoying. Like, why are you doing an accent? Just speak. It's English.
That's I don't know if you guys know, that is, I have many pet peeves, but that is number one. I can't stand when people like imitate my accent, and it's always one really bad approximation of a British accent. Like, for some reason, people get really offended every time I tell Americans, just like Scott said, that there's no such thing as a British accent. There isn't. I'm sorry. And literally, if you spend even 3 minutes around Brits, and it's just shocking to me that it's still pervasive, because I feel like Love Island blew up, like all of a sudden everyone was watching Love Island. I'm like, you can clearly hear the multitude of different accents from people from Newcastle, from Liverpool, Welsh people, like I said, and they sound nothing alike. And this I don't think this is a kind of accent that, oh, because I'm quote unquote British, I can tell the difference. It's like very obviously different. So why do people keep doing it?
I promise you that they don't hear a difference. I've watched shows that people have come from Australia and they still call them British. Like, don't underestimate, like, there's a lot of not very, how do I put it, bright or exposed people on reality TV. And nothing shows more than, like, on The Challenge, there's a section called Trivia. And it would be like, what do people in the UK speak? And someone would be like Portuguese, even though it's clearly English. Like, don't underestimate, like,
educational. I'm just going from personal experience where I feel like all of a sudden everyone in my life was watching Love Island season 10, like the one with Ella and Whitney and Tyreek, etc. And even they were like, oh, I find it really hard to understand Ella. Like, what kind of accent is that? Like, I felt like that was the first time people actually asking me about the different accents because it was so obvious. And I'm just like, I know not everyone can tell, obviously, but I'm like, I can literally tell someone's from South London or North London or West. Like, I feel like British accents are just, they're just not the same. But yeah, you're right. I am being far too kind because every day I realize just how slow people are on social media. Just overexposure. But yeah, you're right. You're right. But yeah.
I don't know if you should say that.
Sorry, but people can be very slow on, I'm not just saying it's an accent, like, I can't tell the difference between lots of American accents unless they're from the South. I feel like I can tell a Georgia accent, but that's because I lived there for years, you know? But I can't tell the difference between like a Texan accent, even though I live here in like a different state. But I also feel like a lot of people here don't have stereotypically Southern accents, which I actually, sorry, I'm like really getting into my accent thoughts now. I find that interesting in major cities that accents tend to be more generic and less regional until you go to the suburbs and the outskirts. I wonder what that's about, but yeah. But yeah. Anyway, so where was I? Yeah, so we then go to Miranda and Steve, who have Miranda has Steve and Brady over for dinner, and Steve is shocked at how quickly she has her new place looking like a home. And I'm like, damn, I was shocked too, but Miranda reminds him that she bought it fully furnished. And I'm like, oh, they didn't mention that.
Can I jump in? I think that was one episode that I probably listened to the podcast after, but they did talk about it. I don't know. They briefly mentioned it when she decided to pick that one. I think Seema had asked her and she was like, just ask them how much it is with everything in it. And it was actually intentional. They mentioned on the podcast that they didn't want dueling storylines of Carrie trying to furnish her apartment, Miranda trying to furnish her apartment. It's like, been there, done that. Miranda bought one in the main one. So that they intentionally wanted her to buy a fully furnished
apartment. And it also kind of makes sense because she'd been through such housing drama, like in the weeks before, that she would just wouldn't want to deal with that stress. From her crazy naked neighbor with the knife to living in Carrie's house and there being tension. It makes sense to me. But yeah. So Brady serves them up a pretty sophisticated looking meal. And then he announces that he's quitting Scout, because I forgot he works there, to go back to school. Miranda is elated, while Steve is the opposite. He's like, Miranda's like, yay! Steve's like, no! And he said that Brady is seemingly giving up his promising cooking career. But Brady says he's going to the Institute of Culinary. I really struggle with that word, guys. I always have. Culinary education. He also drops casually that he's got somebody pregnant, guys. A hookup that he can't for sure remember how many times he slept with her. And he doesn't even know her last name. We just know that her name is Mia. He says he bumped into her on the street and she was pretty far along. Miranda points out the obvious and asks Brady how he knows the baby is his, because it sounds like she sleeps with a lot of people. And Brady understandably asks her how the hell she jumped to that conclusion. And Steve is incensed and tells Brady that he's fucked up his life just as he was getting it all together. And like, how hard is it to use a condom? Sorry, but that was all valid. I'm sorry. Like, be for real. Brady says it's fine because she doesn't even want him involved. And Steve tells him how stupid this thinking is because of course he's involved. Steve loses it even more and says he knows what he's talking about. And Brady says he can hardly talk and he's not him and Miranda. Steve says, damn right he's not him and Miranda, because the difference is that he loved Miranda and he knew her last name. Steve threatens to punch Brady if he shrugs his shoulders at him one more time, and Brady storms out.
From the physically and verbally abusive parent.
Yes, parent.
Steve. What a scene. What a scene, really, because not Miranda saying it sounds like she sleeps with a lot of people. Baby, yeah. We watched 6 seasons of You. So yes. please. Yeah. And you got pregnant. Mm-hmm. You just happened to know the person. So these things happen. But I agree with you. Everything was valid, everything they were saying. But my question for you is, are we surprised at Steve's reaction?
I'm not at all.
I am.
Why?
I am surprised. As a child? Yeah, because Steve has just always been the, I don't want to say cooler parent, because yeah, it's a 20-year-old child, but it's one of those things where I just expect Steve, like, oh man, I expected him to be disappointed. I expected him to say, like, that's fucked up. But this reaction, it just seemed very, very personal to him. Okay. Until I sat and thought about it, and I realized that he was just taking it back to him and Miranda's situation. It made me go back and I watched the scene in season 1 where he was fighting with Miranda, and then he even yelled at her, like, you didn't even want Brady. And they were just talking about, I'm not leaving the house, when she told him to go look for an apartment when they were separating. So I just think, like, it was many layers for him. And he just, his reaction was just more than I thought it would be. Let me put it that way.
I didn't at all, to be quite honest, because your 20-year-old child who has already doesn't seem to have much direction, and you've kind of come to terms with that because you're trying to let him, you know, find himself, do his thing. He gives you great news that he's going back to school. You know, he's got clearly got a gift for cooking. He's going to take it, you know, formally. So you're really happy. Like, oh yeah, he's like figuring himself out. And then the next breath drops this bombshell. And I think why, like, a big part of why Steve was so angry was Brady's attitude, which is, again, highlighting how young and dumb he is, because it was the fact that he was shrugging at everything. Yeah. They were asking him, like, do you know this? Do you know? And he's like, I mean, I don't know. She doesn't want me involved anyway. And you think, like, how do you think that's going to work, bro? Even if she doesn't want you involved, are you going to pay child support? How are you going to afford child support? Mm-hmm. Do you not want to have contact with a child that you've made? Mm-hmm. I just think it's the whole, like, shrugging attitude. I would be incensed as well. Like, I think him threatening him physical harm was a bit much, but I fully on board with how angry he was. Because it's a dumb kid thinking everything's going to be okay when your parents know damn well it's not going to be okay, because it's a bigger deal than you're thinking it is.
Yeah. And just to clarify, I'm not saying you shouldn't be upset. I just thought it would be switched. I thought his reaction would be Miranda, and I thought Miranda's reaction would be his. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who was having thoughts, wondering about, like, you know, Steve's, I guess, speech and his decibel, just a reminder that the actor in real life is suffering from hearing loss, which sometimes, you know, affects your speech and affects, you know, your hearing and all that. So if you feel like, because I know there was some talk about it earlier in the season, and just in case anyone didn't know or didn't remember or was wondering about it, because he was, you know, in combination with the anger, it's because the actor in real life is suffering from hearing loss.
Got it. So it came across probably worse than it should have. Miranda calls Carrie and Charlotte on a three-way call and vents about the situation and Steve's very angry reaction.
I loved it. I just love seeing three of them together. Like, hold on, hold on. Everybody here? Okay.
This is how I am, by the way. I'm like, oh my God, am I, like, old? Well, yeah, I am old, but still. Every time I try to, like, have three people or more on a call, I feel like such a Luddite. I'm just like, oh, how does this work again? I hate it. But anyway, Miranda says she's going to be a grandma. And Carrie says, well, not necessarily, because the girl's wish for Brady not to be involved likely extends to Miranda too. If he's not going to be involved, why would you think you would be? You know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. We then cut to Anthony and Giuseppe getting hot and heavy when somebody starts banging on their door. Anthony goes over to open the door while trying to tell himself to, you know, keep his erection under control. I was that bit, I don't know, it made me laugh. It was toilet humor, but I thought it was funny.
By the way, it was a prosthetic. Someone, like I told you, the writers keep acting like they're not part of it. Someone said, I have a question, I don't know if it's appropriate. And she was hemming and hawing, and Michael Patrick King is like, just spit it out. If you have a question, yeah, you have to ask it for me. So she was like, how did you achieve the erection? And he was like, it was a prosthetic that I chose. So anyone who was wondering,
that's the answer. What would she think was real?
Girl, I don't know what is acting or what is not, but that is their shtick on that show. So
okay. Oh, come on, of course it's fake.
No, I guess she just said, how did you achieve all the
other? Okay, got it. I see what she's saying. Anyway, a fireman has come to evacuate everybody as their neighbor has apparently punctured a gas line. Anthony says they have to move into a hotel for the night, but Giuseppe says they can go to his place instead. Anthony is less than thrilled, especially since Giuseppe has a roommate. And we cut to them at Giuseppe's place, and they're woken up in the morning by him just walking into Giuseppe's room. And he's a lot older than you would expect his roommate to be. And he's come to show him a lifelike puppet he's made of Giuseppe. He literally looks like, what was Pinocchio's puppet maker? Geppetto? Was that his name?
Geppetto,
thank you. Anthony is understandably freaked out, but Giuseppe says, oh no, you've got nothing to worry about because he's asexual. But Anthony is unconvinced, and so am I. Because the author also has a very large package on him as well. And I'm just like, all right, how would you know all of this? But anyway,
I think I'm over it. I want to know why Anthony's always in a bad mood.
But that's him. That's his
personality. I know. I just want to know why. As you get older, people, they said, become more relaxed or whatever. You're dating a young, hot boyfriend. Your bread fella, what is it called? Fella, good fellas, is doing well. What are you still mad about? And I just want one episode where Giuseppe tells us what he likes about Anthony. I want to know personally.
It's so weird because I actually don't think Anthony's a bad man. I just feel like this is just how he speaks. It's just a stereotypical New Yorker. I've actually never thought of Anthony as always being in a bad mood. I just think he's highly strong. High strong, I should say.
Let me change that. Why is Anthony always high strong? Like, just smile for once. Like, can you think of a time Anthony smiled?
Yeah.
When?
Whenever he's with Giuseppe.
And he's not smiling.
They were making out.
They were, but he wasn't smiling. That's my
point. He's not like one of those people that be like, oh, you look better if you just smiled. That's just his resting bitch face.
Okay.
And I don't even like Anthony, and I hate that you're making me defend him.
I don't know. I think I have something here. I've just never seen him soft. Like, even in anything, when people are with people they love, they'll be like, oh, so relaxed. Or so, even when he's declaring his love for him, he's just there.
Maybe he's just not a soft person. I don't know. I just feel like that's just how he is, like, really and truly. But anyway, and he's always been like that, even in the OG. So this is clearly just his personality. Anyway. But Charlotte is on a Zoom psychic energy cleanse. But she's been disturbed by all kinds of crazy noises in her apartment. She's got like a full battalion of workmen in her apartment. Harry's got the TV turned up really high because he can't hear over these workmen. Rock and I always forget Lisa's son's name.
The son we always see.
Yes, the theater kid son.
Not Xavier, is it? No.
I
don't know why that name is coming to me, but yeah.
Yeah, probably. Right, let's just go with Xavier. Told otherwise. They're tap dancing in the corner. And the
I guess Henry.
Is it Henry? Okay. Because the other one's called Herbert, which I also found out today.
Well, Herbert is Henry.
Oh, okay. Because I guess he's Herbert the second, so they go by Henry. That makes sense. Yeah, anyway, so it's just chaos. And this Zoom psychic won't even turn on her camera. And she just seems very dismissive of Charlotte. Yeah. We then cut to Seema, who is in Adam's amazing. I'm so tired of these people all having amazing apartments. It's making me feel sick to my stomach. Phenomenal apartment. And she's super envious when she finds out that he only pays $900 a month because it's rent controlled, which made me even more sick to my stomach. Because this is like my dream apartment. It has so much light. I love like light. It was beautiful. And I feel really shady, and please forgive me, but it's also decorated so much nicer than I expected it to be. Just from what we've seen of Adam, but that's my prejudice showing. I feel bad. And the apartment is full of Adam's mom's art. Because I don't know if you guys remember, she passed away when he was in his late teens, I think, or early 20s. I can't remember.
When he was 20.
20, thank you. Including a huge plant, which he gave her, like a tiny plant when he was younger, and she managed to cultivate it and bring it to life. And now it's huge, and it's like all over his walls, gorgeous plant. And Seema is clearly falling for him. She looks impressed. And she meets up with Carrie for a drink, and she says that Adam's mom being dead has made her a saint forever, which is a sentiment I think we've heard many times. Not just from this show, just in general. Mm-hmm. I've just always wonder how true that is in all cases. I think it all depends on the relationship people had with their parent, right?
Say that again. What was the sentiment?
That because Adam's mom's dead is made her a saint forever. So like she can't compete.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I hear it a lot, but I just feel like doesn't that depend on the relationship they had with them?
I think it even applies alive, and I think it depends on the individual. Like personally for me, I always saw my parents as parents and human beings. A lot of people, especially in our culture, are not able to do that because it feels like it's disrespectful. So I think it's not even when in death, like even alive, their parents are still saints, regardless of what it is. So therefore, automatically, when they do die, they are already. They are going to be even more higher sainthood. Yeah, because how dare you say anything positive? They did this, they did that, or whatever. Like a lot of people are not able to see them as human beings with flaws, you know, and being their parent at the same time. So I think I'm leaning towards, yes, I believe there's a sainthood in that.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't know if you were done with Seema.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead. No, I'm not, but.
Okay, go ahead.
I got Seema, sure. Go ahead.
Seema needs a therapist. I don't even know why that's not even in the storyline, because from the point where they made her see a matchmaker and she's like, I'm not changing, I'm not this. From the point, there was an episode where she was diagnosing relationships and saying, this is the end, this is that, always trying to end relationships. And she hasn't tried to fix that. I think even going to his apartment, like she told Carrie, she was like, she was looking for what would end the relationship. And it's kind of like, okay, do you really want to be with someone? Because on the flip side, you can have your fun. But if you say you want someone, but you're looking for ways for it to end, do you really want it? I don't know.
I would say yes. Just speaking from personal experience, that you can really, when you've been single for so long, it's hard to like adjust. Because you've become defensive, you're always willing to be by yourself again because that's easier, rather than confronting or even allowing someone into your life and just dealing with a lifetime of compromise, especially when you've built a life that you enjoy by yourself, even though you still crave romantic relationships. It takes an adjustment, especially when you've been single for so long, to learn how to be in a relationship again. Understood. And I think that she needs to remember to learn how to be in a relationship again.
She just got out of one with, what's the director guy?
Yeah, but it wasn't that long. And he wasn't there most of the time.
I think for me, it's like, I get it, but at some point she has to pick one. So it's going to be hard. It's going to adjust, but you do have to do it to pick one. And her not adjusting yet is her picking one. And it would be different if she was younger. If she's going to stay in her comfort zone,
okay,
or if she's going to, okay, I want a romantic relationship and I'm gonna have to do XYZ. So yes, it is hard, but in all things in life, it is hard, but at some point something has to move for something to change. so that she can achieve that romantic relationship that she wants. And I think for me, the difference is also that she's 55. How old is Seema? I can't remember, but she's older. So if it's hard to adjust, at what point is she actually going to adjust? Because Adam is giving her everything that she needs. And if you're still going to the point of, I know she wanted his apartment to be trash so that she can comfortably say, oh yeah, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Something got to give, like at some point.
So yeah, Carrie talks about her work with Duncan and says she's not used to a man seeing her as smart first rather than cute or sexy. And this made me so sad. She says that Duncan respects her thoughts and sees her for her. And I loved this little scene. I think this is everything Tane and I have been talking about right from the very beginning of the show, mm-hmm. which is, again, I've said it ad nauseum, but I'm going to say it again. This is what pisses me off so much about the show, that they have all this good in them. Why don't they give us more of it? I think this is fantastic. This is exactly what should have been the focus of the whole And Just Like That. Like, Carrie is grown now. Like, she's a lot more comfortable in herself. And I know I've said this before. And she recognizes that these men were treating her as an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That they didn't respect her. Even though we were calling out for all the OG series that these men don't respect you. They treat you as like, oh, your little job. Big was sunning her left, right, and center. Even Aiden, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even us, to be for real, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That she's not a real author. But just this small scene, I just feel like sums everything up about why she seems so much more comfortable and confident in herself, that she's finally being seen for who she is as a person. Her work is being respected, and her work is being respected by someone of Duncan's caliber. Mm-hmm. He's not talking down to her, they're equals. And this just made me so sad because, yeah, it sucks when people don't see you for you and don't respect you. And, yeah, it just made me really happy that she really recognizes what it is about Duncan that she enjoys. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I was going into my old habits and being funny when she said it. I was like, boo-hoo, amazing, yeah. Sexy.
Yeah, we could do both. No. We could do both.
Absolutely. I understand what she's saying. Like, she's on the plain level. You know, we talked about the title of the episode where it was Better Than Sex. And I was like, honestly, the title of this episode should have been, just in case you forgot who the fuck I am, I'm mm-hmm. Carrie, bitch. Mm-hmm. Because we rag on Carrie all the time, but this, to your point, is the Carrie that we should have seen in And Just Like That. And I think they kind of tainted this confidence and knowledge of herself that they got with this whole Aiden thing. They should have just had her date men that see her, or have her date someone and then drop them immediately. Yes. Because this, and now in the history, I mean, we're going to talk some more, but in the history of Sex in the City and Just Like That, if you're, I don't know if that she's going to become, he's going to become her boyfriend, but if he does, I think Duncan is going to be number one for me.
Yes.
Because now, we're going to talk about it later because I think I had that up for, but this is the first person, like you said, who is seeing her for who she is, who is her equal. There's mm-hmm. always been an imbalance of power in all the people that Carrie has dated. And they've always, like, she's always succumbed to it in some way. So, and then, you know, this is also what made me check myself. Like, is this why I was reading Duncan's compliments wrong? Mm. I'm so used to people talking to her condescendingly or talking to her like, oh, she's ditzy or whatever, but she's an authoress now.
Thank you. And so, a successful one too.
Yeah. And a whole biographer, like, has written a respected one, is now telling her like, you are great, you are good, you're whatever. And they speak the same language, and as if I wasn't convinced, when she showed him his shoes, his response, 10 of a 10, no notes. Give me 14 of that.
I'm like, you're jumping ahead.
Oh, my bad.
I'm like, you're jumping ahead. We're going to get there. But yeah, and I think even like with Big, even though I still maintain, like, from the men she's like properly been with, Big clearly was the best match for her at the end of it all. We never saw enough of their married life together to see if Big finally started showing her some respect about her work, because we never saw it in the OG series. He was the original Mr. Dismissive about her job. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we never saw that part. We saw that they were clearly happy together before he died, but I don't have enough intel about how
We don't have content.
Exactly. So yeah, I can't really say. So I can only go by what they've shown us. So yeah. So Miranda recruits Charlotte for a fact-finding mission to see Brady's baby mom. Do you know, I was going to say the mother of Brady's child. I'm like, no, sorry. If you guys are going to use baby mom for certain demographics, everyone can be a baby mom. At the salon she works. And Miranda also calls her baby mother, which made me laugh a bit. But Miranda tells Charlotte that she'll be undercover and that they'll find out. She's not going to tell her who she is. So they get there.
She told her this at the last minute, guys. Yes. As they got there.
Literally at the door. So they find out that the heavily pregnant Mia is a shampoo girl. I think when they walked in, Miranda was expecting her to be like the owner or something. But no, she's a shampoo girl. And Miranda starts asking her leading questions while she's getting her hair washed. And Mia flippantly says, oh, I was going to get an abortion, but then I find out that my baby was going to be a double Libra. And that's too bad. That was too bad ass to pass up. Sorry, treating children as accessories. But anyway, she then starts farting willy-nilly and blames a pregnancy gas. Miranda tries to ask more questions, like how does she know who the father is, etc., etc., but she quickly fesses up as to who she is when Mia gets suspicious. Mia then sprays the water all over Miranda's face and clothes and says she must be a Taurus and walks out. Yikes.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a true depiction of Gen Z, but I don't know. Are the kids all right? Because clearly the farting, the spraying on the water. Yeah, the questions went too far, but I don't know. Walk away, but not that. She said she was working on a health app, but I think she was drinking a Red Bull and she's pregnant.
Yeah,
so, I don't know about that.
There's someone who decided to keep a baby for their star sign. Like, be for real. There's nothing about this. You're telling me that she's a serious human being.
Like I said, that's why I don't know if the kids are all right. The Gen Zers are going to be okay. But just a little note that the daughter was played by Ben Stiller's daughter, Ben Stiller and Kristen Taylor. I think Ellie's her name. Ellie Stiller, I want to say. So
Mia is placed by.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She was definitely, she hit the obnoxious role like on the head. So she, because she pissed me off.
I mean, another reason, like what I said at the top of the episode, I liked was just like seeing the different friendship pockets. So this is the second that we've seen so far in the scene where it's Miranda and Charlotte going on this thing, and we said this in our rewatch, but Charlotte is a damn good friend.
She's the MVP because she's gonna show up for Carrie too later on in the episode.
She's always like, oh, through the times, whether it's making a basket, whether it's following you in a thing, and whether it's giving you a pep talk, like
Charlotte, and last week she showed up for Lisa too.
Yeah, and Charlotte has always been good at that. So
yeah, great friend. So Carrie and Duncan are working once again. And Duncan finally makes it upstairs in Carrie's apartment. I realize he's never been upstairs to help her with a faulty printer. He comments on how many dresses she has, and she says he ain't seen nothing yet, and shows him her other closet room with her shoes and more dresses. And he is utterly charmed, which I loved. No, like, oh my God, why do you need so many dresses? Like, he's loving it all. And he declares Carrie a fairy tale, and I'm like, Duncan, don't make me fall in love with you.
Come through, writer with the words.
I love him. I love him.
To your point, it was shocking when to find out that he'd never been upstairs.
Yeah.
Because earlier, going back to the scene when they were talking and he was getting a scotch or something. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I didn't even realize it was there. I should have known because his apartment is a womp womp. But I didn't even realize it was her apartment until he was leaving, and I was like, oh, my man's is comfortable. Like, you just went to her cabinet, got out a drink, and asked her if she wants a drink in her own house.
Yeah.
So when he was,
but like, it makes sense, right, that he would never been upstairs because it is a working relationship.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
So, but because he was so comfortable, you would think like, oh, he's already been there, and then you realize, oh, That's true.
Not at all, exactly.
We have not, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so he invites Carrie to a publishing party he has coming up so he can give her lovely sparkling shoes, which he's fallen in love with one pair in particular, like super sparkly silver shoes. And yeah, he wants a chance for the shoes to venture out. So yeah, he invites her to a publishing party. I'm really liking these two guys, and I'm very upset that they're only giving us this at the very end. I'm like, why? Give me more cuteness. Anyway, Lisa finds out that her daughter, Gabby, see, finally remembered her name, has let out her hamster so she could roam free, because she claims that the hamster misses Lisa because Lisa's never there. Lisa's literally dealing with mom guilt, wife guilt, work guilt, like all angles. I don't even know how she's keeping it together. But Lisa lets out her tiredness and frustration and yells really, really harshly at Gabby. And of course, her mother-in-law overhears and uses it as yet another opportunity to criticize Lisa. Herbert tries to comfort her, but Lisa says she feels awful for yelling at Gabby, but she's truly overwhelmed by work.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll start with the podcast. They talked about how many versions of the yelling that they had. Should they go really harsh? Should they go really not harsh? And they're fine with what they ended up with, which I wondered, what other option would there? Like, I think it's completely realistic that a mom is going to lose, an overstretched mom is going to say, because specifically what she said is, how could you be so stupid? And I think that's what they were hung up on. And I'm like, that is realistic. Like, of course, you know, your mom loves you, but she's doing way too much. So I'm glad also that they ended up here. But I think what I want to say is, I said this last week, but now full circle, I don't like how Lisa is being written. This is so all over the place. Like, all of a sudden, Marion is not a thing.
Yeah.
I just.
But what was the point of that whole, what was the point of the whole season?
There's two episodes left.
Yeah.
So, well, and then didn't they show us the next week on and they were walking or something? Or no? Did I make
actually
that up?
I actually didn't watch the next week on this time, but it, they showed
no,
it.
No, last week.
Yes, they showed that in a preview where they were like gazing at each other when she was leaving the show. And then it all went for nothing. Why did they show us that? Do you know?
But, yeah, and it just feels like you've been writing this whole thing about her being overworked. Where is it leading to? Herbert is coming from here. Every now and then, I do remember that he's running for something, but I don't think I felt the gravity. Like, all of a sudden it was election night and I wasn't feeling the, I don't know, excitement, nervousness. I was like, oh, it's here. It just...
Yeah. And also, what was the whole point of, remember his campaign manager? Yeah. I feel like he was set up to be a big part, and then we've never seen him again since.
Nope, just here. My campaign manager wants me for someone so involved. He's never in their house. Like, they've never like interacted. Exactly. The whole Obama thing, why lay it up if it was leading nowhere? So I'm
lazy writing, lazy writing. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it just felt undercooked. Like, they were trying to set up a series long arc, but it's come to absolutely nothing. This whole scene, like, all we've had was her being attracted to Marion and her being, like, running around and thinking she's being a bad parent and bad mom. But
if they're going to put it in the last two, there's not enough time to recover from whatever it is that's going to be. They're going to hurry to just rush that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won't be. But I don't know, my final thoughts, that hamster scurrying across the house, that was a nightmare.
Yeah. It's so funny because I thought immediately of you. And I'm like, I bet she's losing her mind.
No.
It made me laugh because I'm like, I know she's hating every minute of this. But yeah. Seema is at Adam's house and she goes out for a midnight cigarette, opens a window, and she accidentally knocks the plant that Adam's dead mother cultivated right out of the window. Oh, poor Seema.
As soon as she... I don't feel bad for her. As soon as she opened that window, I knew something bad would happen, but I wasn't sure. I thought it was going to catch fire. But I was... Do you think that... Okay, so when I write stuff, I don't like using the same words that I've used in one sentence, use another, like use another... We already started the season with her setting her mattress on fire in the beginning. doing this again with the smoking and stuff, do you see it as repetitive, or was there enough different version? No,
definitely different, because I didn't even remember the mattress burning, to be honest with you. But also, maybe it's a sign from the universe to stop smoking. Yeah, I didn't think it was similar at all. I just thought, oh, of course she would knock the plant out right after he told her how much it means to him.
Okay. My similarity for it was every, like, smoking leading to a disastrous ending.
That's the similarity. The cigarette in the situation. I was just thinking, oh, damn, she can't catch a break. Like, right after he told her about this plant, of course she's going to knock it out. But I didn't even link it to smoking in my mind. Maybe I should have.
Yeah, okay. Because when she opened it, I thought it was going to be a fire. But okay.
But she goes to immediately confess to him, which, I don't know, I would have probably freaked out a bit more first. So we then see Charlotte, who's at Carrie's house, because, as we previously said, it's a madhouse at her house. And she comments on the dress that Carrie has put out that she's planning to wear for Duncan's party. Carrie admits that she has mixed feelings because of how defensive she got with Miranda when she insinuated that there was something going on between them. I don't know if you guys remember, this was a few episodes back. And she says she was tired of everybody assuming that there was something going on, including Aiden. And Charlotte reminds her of how true she was to Aiden, and that Aiden is gone now. Hallelujah. So she has nobody else's thoughts to consider. And Carrie says that if anything happened between her and Duncan now, she'd never hear the end of it from Miranda. And Charlotte proudly declares, fuck Miranda. And Carrie jokingly says, wow, somebody needs an energy cleanse. I really like this scene because Carrie is so me, that streak of stubbornness when you don't want to prove someone right. Especially after you've made like a big stink about it. But I really like that they called that back, because it's very realistic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're like, after all of that, and I snapped at her, all of that, and now look at me, I'm going out on a date with him.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, because even, not like we should care what Aiden thinks, but even in a scenario where if you're dating someone and someone's like, oh, something's going on, and you're telling them, basically we've seen this play out a lot. Yes. Where they say the one they told you not to worry about.
Yes.
Because, I mean, what other way is there to interpret when you see the person that you were concerned about and you're dating? I mean,
exactly.
You can only see it as it was right. But
yes.
Yeah, it was a good scene. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, where the support was given to her. Are you going to talk about her cleanse?
Yes.
Yes.
Wanted to finish the scene first. Yeah.
Okay.
So Charlotte resumes her energy cleanse in the quiet environment. And once again, Rhonda, that's the name of the, what is she like? I don't know what her title is, but her name is Rhonda.
Energy cleanser.
Yes. There we go. Once again, she's dismissive and flippant about Charlotte's need for the session. She like makes a quip of like, oh, what is it? Did your wallpaper not turn out like you wanted? Anyway, so Charlotte starts to talk about the burden she's been carrying around of Harry's cancer diagnosis and how much it's been weighing on her. And Rhonda finally shows some heart and gives Charlotte the sympathy she deserves. She finally turns on her damn camera, because she didn't in the first session. And she says she has all the time in the world for Charlotte, and she guides her through some meditation. And I thought this was so sweet.
Yes, yeah. It was. It was really nice. Some insight. Oh, I should have written this down. But Rhonda Pretente, I don't know. The name is something they've had for a while. They didn't know when they were going to use it, but they used it now. They love the actress who played her. Mm-hmm. Ellie Sussman or something like that. But they had to have her on there. She did not have her camera on because she just saw Charlotte as this rich white lady who doesn't really have problems but wants to have problems. But the minute she saw her as a real person, that's when she turned her camera on. This was inspired by real life. Samantha Irby was gifted an energy cleanse, and she joked, I don't know what that says about me. What energy are they reading that they want me to get rid of? And so she doesn't believe in things like that, that she thinks it's just bullshit. So they had to write that in. I think, my question through all this was that she said, my husband just came through cancer. I don't know what that means. Is it gone?
It seems like it. Again, I think you're right. They've been too vague about certain things. You know what I mean? Like, we were never told that when Harry was going under the knife, we only saw him recovering. Do you know what I mean? Too much chopping. So I feel like it's safe for us to make our own assumptions since the show isn't telling us, you know?
And you know what's so frustrating on the podcast? What did Michael Patrick King say? Harry, he's come through cancer, and I screamed, "What the fuck does
Yes.
that mean? Is it in remission, or is he going through it, or I don't know." So this it's such weird language.
Yes, they're not being straight to the point at all.
Yeah, and then my last thing was, I don't know, the timing on this show is weird because they're not in 2025. They had to fast forward time because to give time to grieve Aiden, so they said they're in the fall or something. I don't know where
Yeah.
they are. And Michael Patrick King mentioned that they had to move time forward, which they did when the show started through the season. So who knows what year they're in,
And you know
but.
what? It kind of makes sense as well, because I'm jumping ahead a bit, but Duncan's 6 months are also up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And where I said the time world is weird is I just thought Charlotte was there, unless I'm reading this wrong, another time. But I'm wondering if it was the same day, because when I looked at her timer, when she turned it on, it was 11 minutes. So I'm like, did she leave and then come down and come to Carrie's house? And that was the same day and she had the whole conversation. That can't be right, right?
No, she told the lady, can they reschedule? But she didn't say
Yeah.
for the same day necessarily. But I don't, it can't be the same day. I'm with you.
Okay. It was just weird that she had suddenly 11 minutes. I was like,
Yeah.
what? She's what did she say
That
that
was
was
one
that
of those
long?
sessions where she was interrupted, right?
Yeah. But yeah.
Interesting. I love how we have to do our own detective work. So, we are back in Seema's office, and Adam has shown up since she's been refusing to answer his calls and texts.
Valid reaction, by the
Yes, I would be mortified, my God. And she says she feels awful for killing his mother, and Adam reminds her that cancer killed my mother, and is truly fine. Adam, bro, where were they keeping all these green flag men? Why now? Why didn't you come to us earlier? Oh, I'm sick.
honestly, Adam was so generous.
He is.
I would have been like, oh, I don't know. I think that's the right thing to do,
Of
but
course.
that would have hit me so hard. I would have been in my feelings, whether it's rational or not. When you symbolize something as your mom and then it's just gone,
Yeah.
oh,
But do
I
you
don't
think it
know.
fits with his personality from what we've seen so far? He seems pretty
Absolutely.
philosophical about stuff. Like one of those where if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, it's not. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if I would have gotten over it as quickly as he had. I think I would definitely have forgiven them because it was an accident, but I would have been in my feelings for a bit.
Yeah,
I would have been definitely
absolutely.
sad for a bit. But yeah, he seems like perfectly fine.
I mean, because rationally, he's the kind of person, he's just like, she's dead. Like, at
Yeah.
the end of the day, you're living. You're the one who makes me happy.
Thank
You're
you.
this. And yes, that makes sense. But sorry, I'm still going to feel some type of way.
Also, I'm not like a big plant person, but I do remember, I should have said earlier, that when she knocked the plant out the window, I'm like, well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's dead. It can be saved because it looked like a pothos. And they're like, even I have managed to keep pothos alive for like 3 years in my apartment, and I'm the worst plant person ever. They're not that hard to look after, so
Yeah, I don't know if it's a plant, and I don't know if I'm applying my sensitivity. I think it's just more the symbolism.
Yeah, of course, of
And
course.
once it's broken and once you put it back, it's like Factory said, it's not going to be what it was anymore. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, that part I don't agree with because I feel like it is, it's just taken on a different form, you know? Yeah, but anyway, so he has salvaged clippings of his mother's plant and he's delivered a few to Seema's office. And Seema says, I can't keep a plant alive. And Adam gives her a sweet kiss and says that's what she has him for. Oh, so cute. And by the way, side note, I always forget her English assistant's name. But here's yet another Birkin. This is the third one I've counted. I knew it was, and I was just like, bro, like, he's clearly rolling in it somewhere. I really want to know how he must have so much money. It must be from his parents, I'm guessing. Just signed a lease. So yeah. But yeah, I noticed it was really pretty and purple with silver hardware. But yeah.
Maybe it's a running gag.
Yeah.
There's a whole reveal at the end of it. So
you didn't mention anything on the podcast. These are the things I want to know.
These are the things that don't even enter my brain. I didn't even notice. So I didn't know. They didn't talk about it. I think I would remember.
Okay.
Just for you.
Thank you. So the Wexleys are all off to find out the results of Herbert's election. And they are full of high hopes as Herbert is showing as being 5 points ahead of the opposition. So there's basically no way he can lose. But then we get a jump cut to them returning from the election in the elevator. And Herbert has indeed lost.
And the third kid was there.
But yes, yes. All the kids and the mean mom-in-law. But anyway, he's devastated, but Lisa does her best to comfort him and reminds him that he's human, you know, and sometimes people lose. So, yeah, but I guess that's it for them this episode.
Yeah, which I don't know. If the series was ending, why not just make him win? We don't need to go through the stress of all that, which is, again, why I'm like, did they know it was ending? Who knows? But the assistant's name is Arthur.
Will never tell us, will they?
No.
Yeah.
No. Was
the assistant's name is what, sorry?
Arthold.
Ah, thank you. I was trying to remember his name. Isn't it? Interesting. Okay. Carrie's about to leave for Duncan's party in the most un-Carrie-like outfit I've ever seen. She's in a gray skirt suit with severe black shoes. I remember when I first saw it, I was like, girl, that's what you're wearing? She literally looks about like she's about to give like a PowerPoint presentation for a new pitch in front of a bunch of business. I'm like, this is what you're wearing? But anyway, she halts as she makes her way down the stairs and she turns around and goes back to change into the outfit she wanted to wear all along. And we see Duncan get impressed by his publisher, Imogen, about his inability to finish the Thatcher biography. When Imogen notices Carrie walk in, and Carrie looks fantastic in a Vivienne Westwood dress and the sparkly shoes that Duncan loved. And Imogen is so happy that the Carrie Bradshaw has shown up to the party. Ah, this was so satisfying. And Duncan says, yeah, I invited her. And he goes over to greet Carrie. This is complete aside, but this was very satisfying for me for another reason. Because I was arguing with someone online, which, you know, you shouldn't do. Because they were saying, oh, people picking weird names like Imogen. And I'm like, Imogen isn't a weird name. It's not common in the US, but it's not an uncommon name in the UK. And they're like, well, I've never heard of it. And then they're like pulled up, oh, is ranked number 300 and something in the most popular. I'm like, you could give me rankings, but Imogen isn't an unusual name. I'm sorry. It's not common, but it's not unusual. I've met like a few. So when I found out this one was called Imogen, I'm like, ha, suck it, internet stranger. But yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Well, were they American?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Like, it's not a common American name.
Yes.
We have Imogen Heap, but
thank you. But it's not unusual. That was my whole point.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I don't know, pulling a ranking is like, that's
weird. No, you know how internet people are. So, yeah. But yeah, so please go ahead.
No, I was just, I'm glad she changed as well, even though honestly, she looked great in the other one too. Like I've said many a time before, Carrie's body is made for clothes. Like that woman puts on clothes and it just transforms. But this, life is short. Aiden just stifled you, come right out here. Be like a Taylor Swift relationship. Taylor Swift dated that man for 6 years. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. It's just the thing that popped in my head. She dated that man for 6 years. He wanted to be private. That girl went into a suitcase to be flown in secret. Now she's dating someone and living out loud. I can't believe that relationship is real. But she's out loud. So, Carrie, it is time. You were left in that shackles. You were saved from 5 years of suffering. So wear that dress, because even if you wear it, you're going to get another one even more fabulous. Her titties wear out. Her body was banging.
Fantastic. What?
She stopped
the hair was blowing.
She stopped the room. People were just like, Carrie, oh my God, this. And I'm like, you know, it is nice to see Carrie actually get her dues. And she's come a long way from that book club in Paris where she made it late. And there were like five of them or four of them that were coming on there. So good for Carrie.
And yeah, I just love it when the show remembers who the fuck she is. She is the Carrie Bradshaw. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. We then go back to Anthony, who asked Giuseppe to move in with him because he's unconvinced about his roommate. And Giuseppe says he appreciates the offer, but he doesn't want to move too fast so they can like reconsider it in the future. He gets up to use the bathroom and sees his roommate furiously masturbating to the puppet he's made of him. He's understandably horrified and tells Anthony that he will move in with him after all. I can't imagine anything more disturbing to my spirit than walking in on that, especially to like a life-size, not a life-size, but a lifelike puppet of you. Oh my gosh, how disturbing.
Honestly, we need to underline the fact furiously. Like it was violent. It was like, damn.
I was like, okay, he's going in.
And honestly, you know, everyone keeps describing Giuseppe as intelligent. And I'm just, are we sure? He seems naive and letting his head in the clouds and life is great. Like, no.
I just feel like he's just one of those people that likes to see the best in people. That's all. Well, until proven otherwise. And he was definitely proven otherwise.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think that's a bad trait at all.
So, okay,
I don't have it, so I think I admire it in other people. So, yeah,
I don't want it, but you know,
yeah. So, Carrie is charming the pants off Imogen when Duncan casually mentions that she's his ex-wife. Imogen gives Carrie a standing invitation to hit her up whenever she's in London and leaves Duncan and Carrie to it. So, they're walking home and they both admit that they think each other is wonderful. Duncan, she basically finds out that Duncan has missed his deadline. So I think it makes her feel better because clearly she's like been churning out the pages and Duncan is struggling. So Duncan says that.
No, oh, sorry. I misread that. I didn't know if he was struggling or that he was giving all his time to her,
Carrie,
because he believes in her. And so he's put hers in the back burner just to give her that push. That was how I read it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet. And he's also built equity that you can push his deadline a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think he's worried, but I never even thought about that. That's actually, maybe it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe. Oh, and one last thing at the party. I just wanted to note that WizKid's song Essence was playing in the background and it just...
Notice.
Never would have expected it in and just like that, but yeah. Go back and check.
I've been a chokehold and now I can't stand it. Sorry, so overplayed. But yeah. Duncan says he's discovered that Carrie is a thing and that everybody in New York loves her. And he invites Carrie to his place, but she shakes her head no. And he's clearly disappointed, but still very respectful and says goodnight. Carrie's walking up to her apartment, but then she changes her mind and runs back down and kisses Duncan. Finally. It was still an awkward kiss. Sorry, an ode of Tane. But if you guys don't know, Tane has a running thing, which she now forces me to notice that Sarah Jessica Parker is a really bad on-screen kisser, and she's right. Sorry.
She just moves her head left to right, yeah, vigorously, like a bubblehead.
So yeah, we cut to them post-coital, and they are clearly on the same page about this being temporary as Duncan is going back to London. Duncan self-deprecatingly says he knows Carrie slept with him as an act of charity, and she's too much of a distraction to try and make things work. And do you know what? Sorry, as an aside, this made me so happy because the way these men have been playing in Carrie's face for all these seasons, okay, it was just nice to have someone recognize that, hey, she's somebody too, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, it's just nice to see, for her to feel seen in this, I don't know, situationship.
Yes.
And for once, it's an equal, she's equally yoked.
Thank you.
She's either dumbing down or trying to reach up, and they are trying to put her in her place, and she's trying to pacify, but she can just be. But it's funny because I think she's going to have to get used to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it still feels like shoes that she's breaking in. Every time he gives her a compliment or whatever, she's like, huh, yeah, it is me. Yeah. I am that person, but it's like a...
You like her? You can see her like settling into her
culture. Yeah.
I just love it.
And that's why she changed.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just really mad that they waited till now to give us this. But anyway.
Now we can get Burger out of there. Author boyfriend.
Oh, man. So he says that while he may have missed a deadline, Carrie gave him a lifeline.
Oh.
I know.
The words.
Carrie chuckles and says, "You're such a writer." And he kisses her and says, "And darling, so are you." Mm. Oh, guys, I'm melting. Mm. This is so cute. Oh,
not us being Team Carrie.
I know. So then we end the episode with Carrie in her garden with a voiceover saying that even though summer had come and gone, the woman could still feel the lingering touch on her face and body. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful.
And that's their inside joke, because she ended her book saying something three times, and they just kept playing with that and playing on it. And
what an A1 episode. I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I get really angry at the good episodes as well, because I'm just like, you have it in you. You have it in you. This is what is so frustrating about this show, because when they get it, they really get it. So what's the excuse for not getting it?
Yeah, there's no it's not a fluke, because again, it's the same writers from Sex and the City. Yeah. So it's not a fluke. If you had that much impact on us, we know that you have it.
Yes.
So, you know.
But yeah, I love this episode, and it was Carrie-centric, and I just feel like it just literally just filled my heart with all the feels, and it hit all my little rom-com heart as well. I love it. So yeah, I didn't watch the in next week or coming up, whatever, but I'm just sad that clearly they've made it clear that this isn't gonna be like a permanent thing. It's like we're chilling for now, but I really wish they could have someone like that forever, because she deserves it, damn it.
You never know.
I know. Did you have any other thoughts to add?
No. Just a good episode, and I'm ready to see how they wrap it up, and I really hope that they stick the landing.
Yes, fingers crossed. Can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, guys, you can find us on The Rewatch Times 2. That's TheRewatchX2. And that's on Instagram and on Twitter. And if you want to send an email, you can add@gmail.com. You can send all your comments, your thoughts, and also your recommendations of what you would like us to rewatch over there.
Yes. And once again, Agree and Retain, thank you for watching. Please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, particularly on Apple and Spotify. Thank you guys again, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.